Are you worried about the war cabinet being disbanded?
Thank you, press. The media is asking Biden questions. What did he yell at them?
We need to hear that again. We've got to hear that again. Listen.
Are you worried about the war cabinet? It's a cheap fake.
Wow.
I mean, really, the correct word is deep fake. But Karine Jean-Pierre also thinks that it's the Nordstrom pipeline. Just get all those sales right to your house, guys. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. That was the, I guess it was another cheap fake, right? Any video that they don't like is a cheap fake. I don't even know what that means, but okay. All right. It's not, though. What did he, we still don't know what he said.
He was trying to mock the yelling press, and it was just incoherent mockery. And there it is. It's our president.
But don't ask questions that are too hard to answer, because it's going to make KJP upset. Audio soundbite two. She gets very upset when you ask her about stuff like the video that we just watched, or I don't know, like the stuff that was the Normandy ceremony or the G7 thing. Right. I mean, she gets very, they're not handling this well. Listen.
There were two instances in recent days where leaders, former President Obama and George Meloni of Italy, they physically put hands on the president to guide him and show him, give stage directions. Are they doing that on their own, or has anybody asked them to run the show like that?
First of all, let me spoke to the most recent, right? And as we saw on Saturday, President Obama's office put out a statement, so I would refer you to that statement about what was being accused in those by others. And he said this did not happen, in the sense of what people were saying they were seeing, right? Or what was being falsely reported that they were seeing. Let's not forget, President Obama, President Biden have a relationship. They are friends. They're like family to each other. And I think that's what you saw. You saw the president put his hand on the back of President Biden, and they walked off the stage after taking questions at an event, taking questions from Jimmy Kimmel. That's what she's not taking this well.
She's not taking this well at all. She seems upset. Well, you know, it's not. He's not declined. You can't explain it. It just looks bad. It looks bad. And this is one of the things we're talking about, and that Democrats are making it look worse by not addressing it. Because if you're telling us that we're the problem because of what we're seeing, then you're not helping your candidate. I got to tell you, speaking of helping the candidate. So if you get the newsletter over at Substack, my Substack column, Chapter and Verse, I had a couple of things that went out, and one of those I want to expand on. It's the VP stakes, because, you know, there's a short list floating around of Trump's VP potentials. And I think that maybe more so now than ever, this is probably one of the most consequential VP selections of any election that I can remember. I don't think it mattered as much with McCain, and I don't honestly even think it really mattered much with Trump in 2016. I think everybody can agree with that. I don't think it really mattered all that much. I think Pence locked up the evangelical and the more traditional GOP voters. But in this, I think that Trump needs to build on what he's got and maximize gains. But at the same time, he's got some room here. He has a lot of options, actually. The Republicans have a really huge bench. Whereas Democrats have, I got to count, maybe Buttigieg, maybe Newsom. That's like it. Brig Gretsch. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. We don't really know who they have. So the short list keeps shrinking. So originally it included a lot of other people. I think right now the four names that keep getting mentioned the most are Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, Rubio out of Florida, Tim Scott, senator out of South Carolina, and J.D. Vance, senator out of Ohio. And I feel like Vance has been leading a lot of these not totally scientific grassroots surveys. And now keep in mind, I think I've only met Tim Scott in person. I think I've met Marco Rubio once. I met Tim Scott, but I don't have anything personal against these guys, but I'm going to be very clinical in the way that I look at this. I don't like the idea of a J.D. Vance as VP, and here's why. As I discussed in the piece, when you look at the current Senate makeup, It's 51-49. And Republicans are, and there's four independents, but they caucus with Democrats. So even when you look at the seats in play, it is going to be a fight to even scrape up some nominal majority. And even then, it's not guaranteed. It is a fight because in some of these areas, you have to consider redistricting. Now, when he won, when Vance won against Democrat Tim Ryan, it was by just barely 7 points. Now, Trump is leading Biden in Ohio, but it's within the margin of error. I would have felt better with a Vance selection if Trump were polling double digits ahead of Biden in Ohio. Now, I know that DeWine is going to replace Vance, but there's going to be an election then not long after that. I'm trying to keep all of this in gear. And plus, I think, can I be honest? I think DeWine is a little bit of a moderate. So I tend to think that whoever he selects is going to would be more moderate than Vance on certain issues. So that's another reason why. It's not because I dislike Vance. I just think that he better serves the overall agenda in the Senate right now. And specifically just for the math alone is why I'm looking at it the way I'm looking at it. His area is not like Tim Scott's South Carolina district, because in 2022, Scott just absolutely destroyed his Democrat challenger by plus 25, by over 25 points. So again, I know that DeWine would pick Vance's replacement, but DeWine's a moderate. And I don't think that you're going to get somebody who is a conservative as what you have there picked by DeWine. Now, I don't know that even picking Vance is enough to lock in Ohio either, because he doesn't have that national name recognition. And I think that Republican voters, from looking at some of the breakdown, they're very interesting in Ohio. So I don't know if it's guaranteed. But I do think this, and because I've already seen this floating around, and I'm just telling you this because you're going to need to know it. If Vance is picked, you can count on Democrats making ad after ad of the time that Vance called Trump America's Hitler. He did. It's out there. And he wrote op-eds like Opioid of the Masses, How Trump Can't Fix America's Social and Cultural Crisis. They're going to start circulating that, and they're going to put it out there, and they're going to say, oh, look, MAGA, you prioritize loyalty more than anything else. Well, here's this guy. He wasn't loyal. So, and then they're going to exploit that and try to hold it against you. I'm just saying, regardless of whether or not and why Vance changes thinking, that's going to be a tool to use. You need to be aware of this. And the left is preparing for this outcome because I've already seen it circulating. As for Marco Rubio, I could never in good conscience pick a Rubio for VP because I watched him crumble on stage in front of me at Parkland. He went up before me and I stood there and I watched him completely crumble on an assault weapons ban. I watched him completely crumble on a national registry, aka universal background checks, and I watched him completely crumble on red flag laws. He just fell apart. He went along to get along, and that is a deal breaker for me. Because of that, I could never, ever back him as a VP. And plus, he's from Florida. Now, I'm not saying because I dislike Floridians. I love Floridians. I love Florida. Florida is not going anywhere but red. And it's not illegal to have the Constitution, the 12th Amendment doesn't prohibit, we talked about this yesterday, two people from the same state running. There is regulations on how the electoral college votes or how those voters vote. But it doesn't leverage voters nationally well enough. And I just don't think that it's a good idea to do that. Judging also by the zealous registration of GOP voters over Democrats and the recent elections that Florida has seen, they have such a massive red wave. I mean, their state legislature has a super majority. They're red. They are red. There's nothing to be gained from running two red state dudes on the same ticket. Nothing. You have to leverage this. Doug Burgum out of South Dakota is just a moderate non-entity. He's a moderate non-entity. Tom Cotton's name has been mentioned before. He comes from a solid red state. I think him as a VP leverages absolutely nothing for the ticket. And furthermore, some of what he wants to do foreign policy wise is completely at odds with Trump's agenda. He is one of the Republicans that wants to spend on Ukraine. That's not where Trump is. I've seen Elise Stefanik mentioned before, but I think her name has kind of fallen off the subsequent list. She's a moderate Republican with a moderate record. And she was not always on board with Trump. She said one time in a verbatim in a radio interview that, quote, Trump was insulting to women. Now, I mentioned this last month because she was doing an interview with Shana Bream, and Shana Bream asked her about it because it was mentioned in a New York Times piece. And Stefanik got really angry with Bream and accused Bream of citing some anonymous report in the New York Times, even though it was a literal for real interview that Stefanik willingly gave to a local radio station that the New York Times merely cited. And Stefanik was employing the guilt by association tactic in order to dodge answering why she changed her thinking about that, which would have been an amazing opportunity to potentially persuade undecided voters. And I think that that was the finessing of a situation that required more advanced rhetorical artistry than she possesses. And I don't think that that's a good, the Republican Party, I think, also has to look to more than just November, because they have to look 8 years ahead, right? So whoever Trump picks for VP, that ticket's got to have longevity. Now, I think that the biggest gains, because my short list for VP, for his VP, is very, very short, and it only includes governors. Kemp Youngkin, I like DeSantis, but again, same argument that I made with Rubio. Two people from a red state, not going to leverage anything to win. I don't think that it works. But I think that Brian Kemp or Glenn Youngkin, would get the biggest gains, even though I know he doesn't get along with Brian Kemp. Get over it for the agenda. Because both of those states are in play. A lot of people think that Georgia is, you know, a solid red state, and it's not a solid red state necessarily. Now, here's what's interesting, and this is where I want to segue into toss-up. Virginia has been moved to a toss-up category. Glenn Youngkin, he's, you know, gets one term. He terms out in about a year. He's potentially a more practical choice than a Brian Kemp, because Virginia is in play and it is considered a toss-up state. I also think that Youngkin would also bring in more traditionally non-Trump Republican voters, uniting the right-leaning fray, so to speak. And so I also think that Youngkin isn't super charismatic. No, I'm not saying this is to be mean to him. He's kind of nerdy. He's not super charismatic, which I think better suits Trump's style, because you cannot have two super strong personalities on the same ticket. That's a disaster. You can't do that. Somebody's got to be Johnny Carson. Somebody's got to be Ed McMahon. You can't have two Johnny Carsons and you can't have two Ed McMahons. It doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to play. You got to play the right role. So the good news is that I think the Republican bench is super overcrowded. And that's good for us, right? Because you got a lot of presidential hopefuls. That means a lot of good choices for voters. And especially when you compare it to what Democrats have. What are they going to do? Seriously, what do they do after 24, guys? Who do they got? Nobody. Can you imagine them in 28? Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk more about that coming up. We're also going to talk a little bit more about Virginia and what that means. And we're also going to look at maybe a potential, it's a double-edged sword that I think Trump needs to pay attention to, especially considering that previously, Democrats always banked on having more voter turnout. I think that may hurt them this year. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The first alert of 2024 hurricane season. Tropical storm watch on the Texas coast. It's a system in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's soon going to become Tropical Storm Alberto. Yes, Alberto is going to be heading for the Texas coast. Don't know what he's going to be doing, but he's coming.
He's trying to come over the border.
Yeah, he's trying to come over the border. It's right, Kane. He's trying to sneak over the Rio. Put them gators in there. Just saying. So anyway, they said it's been issued for Texas coast from Port O'Connor southward to the mouth of the Rio. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a hurricane. But, you know, I'm also not a meteorologist. I just like to give opinions on the weather. I identify as a meteorologist, though. I can be whatever I want to be. This story cracks me up, and I've been laughing about it for 24 hours straight. A popular haircut has sparked outrage across Texas as one restaurant threatened to ban customers supporting the divisive style. What is it? It's the Edgar, which would be an amazing band name, by the way. The Edgar. Some restaurants and schools are seeking to ban those who sport it. It's a bowl-shaped cut. It's the mullet of our times. And it's been compared to the modern Moe of Three Stooges and Spock of Star Trek. And they say that it's typically favored by Mexican-American young men who are known as Edgars. Why is that not a punk band name? The Edgars. And there's literally a restaurant. They put up a dude with that hair and the red circle in the line there, and it says, no Edgars. Oh, my gosh. It's so great. Oh, my gosh. It's so great. No Edgars. So, let's see. California's exodus could get worse. Florida, Texas, South Carolina picking up the slack. Don't move here. If you're going to vote like you did in California, don't do it. Flesh-eating bacteria that can kill in 2 days spreads in Japan. Ugh. It's a flesh-eating bacteria disease. Kill people within 48 hours. They said it's the streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, STSS. So, you know, just, I don't even know what to tell you guys. Don't freak out and also be clean, maybe? I don't know. Stick with us. We got a whole bunch of stuff. The town that sued over racism. Our partner who helps bring you free radio, folks, get you some Scrooge McDuck gold. I mean, for real, right? Just be like, go get you some gold from Gold Co. and then swim in all your gold bullions or your actually just your coins. Can I just be real? That would be really heavy to dive in. I got my gold from Gold Co. and I was like, this would not be fun to jump in. Can you believe I was that many years old and I just had that realization? Anyway. There you go. So Gold Co. wants to make it easy for you to get precious metals because they understand that the government is going to break you, literally break you, break your bank, just take all your stuff. You need to diversify. And Gold Co. wants to help you do it. In fact, they've got a whole kit. They'll walk you through the whole lesson of how gold IRAs work, and they'll explain the economy of it to you. They make it easy for you to understand, not just get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but understand it as well. 7-time Inc. 5000 winner, thousands of 5-star reviews. Perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. You can visit danalikesgold.com and you can learn how to diversify, how to protect everything that you have worked for and saved for with Gold Co., a top-rated company. You'll get a complimentary wealth protection kit. You'll get armed with all the facts about precious metals. So they've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. Visit danalikesgold.com and learn how you can get started today. You'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit danalikesgold.com.
In America, you can be anything you want.
This chick, and if you're watching on the simulcast, we can't play any of it because we'll get totally cited, not just for the song, but for everything else. But this is a Missouri Republican candidate, Valentina Gomez, who made this campaign video. She jogs in a bulletproof jacket and is like, don't be weak and gay. So does that mean like strong gays only or what? I don't know. I'm curious. But she's running to be Secretary of the State. She's trying real hard for a base. She's in Soulard. She's in like literally like the neighborhood. That's kind of basically my neighborhood. My old neighborhood in St. Louis is where she's at running. And that's a rainbow neighborhood if ever there was
there
one.
Might be a gay or two there.
Might be a couple of gays there. I've heard that there are some gays in the Soulard area. But she's like, in America, you can be anything you want. So don't be weak and gay. So I would just be like strong gays on roids only, right? Yes. Like that's...
Yep. Should be a t-shirt.
Yeah. Only strong gays on roids with guns. That's it. Everybody else go to hell. Yeah. So, and then she says, stay blanking hard. And then she's got another, she's got a rifle and something else. I mean, she's from Colombia. She's young. And she is going for Jay Ashcroft's seat. He's leaving to become governor. And my only complaint is that in her original post, she literally tagged the Taint Brothers in it.
The what brothers?
The Taint Brothers. That's how I know them.
Who are the Taint Brothers?
They're those bald dudes who believe in Sharia law. And they're Islamo-fascists who believe in Sharia law. And like newly conservative dudes who think that the conservative movement began when their beans dropped upon puberty. They think that they're conservative.
Oh, you mean the Taint Brothers?
Sure.
I see what you're saying.
What is this? Andrew Taint? It's not. That's his name. That is his name. Hey, look, if a dude can go out there and be like, call me a chick, that's their name now. And they try to be real tough and all that stuff, and they talk real hard, but all they can do is pay women to sleep with them for money on video. That's all they can do. I mean, you know, okay. Anyway, she, I don't know why, but she like tagged them in her original. So I was open to the idea of kind of digging it, but then but I saw in the original tweet when I first saw the video that she CC'd them. And I'm like, why? Like, why would you, why, if I was going to go seek validation from a dude, I would not pick a balding beta that has to juice up in order to have muscle definition, who probably is, I mean, you thought that the bat caves in China had diseases. Just saying. Like, this dude's got more diseases than a bat cave in China.
Oh. Too soon?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's never too soon.
Checking.
I recognize no boundaries, but I'm right. Y'all know I'm right. So why did she CC them? That was lame. So as a result, I'm cautious about this one. That's enough to make me cautious. Like, who you roll with says a lot about you if there's no record to speak of at that point. You know what I mean? I feel like that's fair. I want to switch gears and talk about all the nonsense that's ongoing in my town because this is a new story. Department of Justice is insisting that Civil Rights Division, they're trying to come in and investigate my town for what they say are civil rights offenses. And they're mad because conservative parents won victory after victory in an overwhelming landslide with over 70% of the vote and taking over school board races. And NBC and all of these other slacktivists out there are trying to act like the community is bitterly divided. But guess what? The community is not bitterly divided. When you win election after 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 election with over 70% of the vote, doesn't sound like it's too divided, Common Core, right? That's not how division works. I mean, what kind of Joe Biden hell math is that? That's not how division works. That sounds like an overwhelming majority of parents who, by the way, include black parents and white parents and Hispanic parents, Latino parents, Asian parents, Muslim parents, Indian parents. I mean, everybody's and their brother's parents included. But it's interesting because all the sloppy white Marxist progressives that I see who keep insisting and pushing this racial drivel ignore all of those parents, just like the Klan did back in the day. So see, they're keeping up appearances. They're ignoring all the minority representation because the minorities rejected them. This goes back to that Prop 8 in California when they were waging war at the ballot box over same-sex marriage. And you had the black community and the Hispanic community that overwhelmingly defeated it. It wasn't the white community in California. It was the black and the Hispanic community that were leading the charge. And the progressives did not know what to do. They can't criticize them because then they're breaking their own rules. Are we racist? I mean, like, you got to answer that question, you know, with any kind of facetious manner. Yes, you are. But they had no idea how to deal with it. So they're like, let's go after the Mormons. That's what they did. They went after the Mormons, even though when the numbers were posted on Secretary of State website and everything was broken out, the Mormons did the least. I'm sorry, but y'all did the least. I know you pat yourselves on the back about it, but y'all didn't do much. It was the black community and the Hispanic community in California with that measure. It was like 10 years ago. But the left couldn't go after them because you can't be on the left and disagree with someone who's a minority because that makes you a racist. I mean, by damn, you might get a title for a plantation. You're so racist. That's how bad it is. So they don't know what to do. So the only thing that they can do is ignore that they exist. Right? Now, I want you to think about this. This is the party that just in the span of several weeks, right, you had Jerry Nadler go, oh, well, we like immigrants. They pick our fruit and clean our toilets. You had Nancy Pelosi that goes out and says the same thing. just literally yesterday. You had Eric Adams, mayor of Manhattan, go out and say, yeah, we should be hiring illegal immigrants to be lifeguards in the pools because they're sure good swimmers. I mean, he said that on video. You had Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, last week said that black kids don't know what computers are if they live in the Bronx. That's who these people are. So it should not surprise you that they are ignoring minority representation in Southlake, Texas. Now, why is this a big story? Just as Virginia was a big story with school boards, Southlake was the first to push back at the ballot box. And Southlake scored the first victories. And it was a fight that was broken open by a Cuban family here. I watched with my own eyes as a dad from that family was bypassed by an NBC producer because he wasn't white. He didn't support her white narrative. Someone else was taking video footage, and it's still up on Facebook, and they just blow up, but they're not interested in talking to him because he doesn't support their, oh, this is a racial division narrative. They actively and exerted a lot of effort when you consider that over 70% at the ballot box to exclude and silence all minority families who stepped out against this. They want you to think that this is about being racist, and it's not. I've talked about this. I've been writing about this. I've been discussing this issue with people. And we're going to keep talking about it because you need to be aware of what's happening in your school. The DOJ is coming for you, too. So in Southlake, now they got the DOJ coming forward because Southlake parents rejected this critical race theory plan called CCAP. And they wanted, as I said yesterday, to replace the SROs. They wanted to hire a chief diversity officer, pay him six figures. They were going to establish a snitch line so students could call in and put on other students' permanent record reports of, and this is their words, perceived microaggressions. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There was a lot of stuff. It all sparked because you had two morons who were stupid enough. This is why you shouldn't have let your kids have social media. They were singing apparently a song that had a racial slur in it, and they said it, and it went on. It went all over Snapchat, and those families had to actually switch schools and leave town. It was they apologized profusely. Apologies weren't wanted. It was about total destruction. And so, like I said, I've written about this a lot. I had a piece that was up at Newsweek about this. Our former mayor John Huffman, who was there through this whole fight, was writing about this too. It got so bad because, see, here's the thing. The plan that they were trying to push out, they didn't start this out of academic curiosity. They exploited stupid teenagers doing something bad. They asked forgiveness. And then they used these kids' worst moments in their lives. They exploited it as a way to implement critical race theory education. And they expected us parents to pay for it. They had it was their cultural competency plan. And they were going to review student subgroup test performances because they found they even had to note there were no significant achievement gaps among the entire ethnic population in the school. But, you know, as I said, these kids on social media, they did something dumb. They did something immoral. They're young. Young people are allowed to do stupid things because their brains aren't even fully developed. It's not that they're allowed. It's that they will do dumb things. Racism and bigotry are moral failings, which is why I think the left are notorious sinners. But I also agree with Vodi Bakum, who'd said that you cannot keep sending your kids to Caesar and then be shocked when they come home as Romans. And so they have been, progressive activists were naming private citizens, and they sent out mailers attacking many of the minority families that had stood against them. It is one of the nastiest things I've ever seen. I got one in the mail because I live here. They sent out calling the Cuban family that led the fight. They were the ones who first reported it because they had all these kids in the schools. They went after them and they were smearing them. They called them racists. They sent out a mailer that said, "Why follow these clowns anywhere?" They were doxing and smearing private citizens to suppress their participation in this school board fight. That is what the Marxist in Southlake did. The NBC slacktivists, NBC refused to include this in their reporting. I know for a fact it was brought to their attention repeatedly, and they absolutely refused to include this in their reporting. This is my mailer that I got in my mail that they sent out. They have their own PAC, the left does. It's funded by some old crusty, sorry, boomers, but they're Marxist boomers that use these kids as the veneer to push their stuff. They were telling each kid in each grade they had a plan to teach them how to see everyone in racial terms. And they were, and I'm taking this from it, and elevating, they were talking about elevating education according to skin color. They had a, quote, equity and inclusion grievance process system through which students can report instances of discrimination or perceived microaggressions that inhibit progress towards cultural competence goals. It's a direct quote. And these microaggressions and discriminatory behaviors were going to be logged in their permanent digital records. Wow. Lifelong digital records. And they also wanted to publicize when it happened. They're going after the kids, not just the adults. They wanted to hire teachers and staff according to race. They wanted to have a racial hiring quota. They also wanted to reduce standards, academic standards, to better accommodate children of other ethnicities, which I think is one of the most racist things I've ever heard in my life. And it's illegal, by the way. You have lawsuits going out, scores of them, under, what is it, Title VII of the U.S. Civil Rights Act over this. And so this is what they incorporated Ibram X. Kendi's critical race theory workshops. They sent their teachers to this stuff. And by the way, the Carroll ISD, their school's own data, shows an average of only 3 incidents per month related to microaggressions. There are almost 9,000 students in the school. They wanted to push equity over equality, which meant, you know, they don't believe in equal opportunity. They only believe in guaranteed outcomes. And so that's what they did. There were lawsuits. The family that they attacked, the Cuban family they attacked, were actually the first ones to file suit. And so conservative parents, we took over the school board. And I was looking at the breakdown. So you have all these progressive activists on X right now for Carroll. They're saying, oh, Carroll's predominantly white. And when they were repeating these statistics to try to argue for this racial narrative, do you know what they did, which I find disgusting? Do you know what they did? They literally omitted half of the minorities in the school. They omitted entirely the Hispanic population, which is like 12% of the school. They omitted several other minorities as well so that they could alter and fudge the math. And because they think people on X aren't going to check, you know, you can Google this. I pulled it up off of Carroll's own website. I also pulled it off of our state education website. I can tell you breakdown by breakdown. They literally omitted the minority students and fudged the numbers to drive a racial narrative. And they're using these lies to bring in the Department of Justice to break the school and crush the families that fought this. This is happening now. This is, look, it's not enough to have one victory. It is an ongoing war for the soul of your children. We can never relent. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Menopause is not a bad word. It's not something to be ashamed of, and it is not something Congress or the federal government should ignore. Menopause is something that every woman goes through. So there's no reason that any woman should feel like she's going through it alone or like she can't find reliable information or the healthcare answers and options she needs. And there is no excuse for shortchanging this issue when it comes to federal dollars.
Jiminy.
So we're going to be working hard to build support for our legislation.
For what?
Pass it into law and make menopause a part of the conversation until it finally gets the spotlight and resources
Look,
that it needs.
If there's one thing I know, it's that we don't need more females bitching. I'll be honest with you. I am not looking forward to having to go through that stage of womanhood.
But what law?
I heard horror stories about it from my mom, my aunts, and I'm watching this and I'm like, why in the hell does the government have to get involved in this? Like, what purpose is it? The government's going to make something we're already not looking forward to happening. They're going to make it worse. They always do. They always make everything worse. So for what? What's the money going to go to?
What,
oh my gosh, Dano,
what
stop
law?
It.
What
don't
law? What
refrain,
bill?
Refrain. Are they going to like outlaw it? What are they going to do? I don't understand. Can't you keep the government out of don't you love it? The government should stay out of my business, but I want it up in my business. Like, just stop. Our partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, some really good coffee. Veteran owned, veteran run. There are a lot of mainstream coffee companies like Starbucks that just can't stand them because they're mainstreaming support for first responders and love for 2A and just good coffee, right? Dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes, they also develop explosive roast profiles, all crafted right here in the US of A, using the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide. They roast them in Utah and Tennessee. You got all kinds of choices, ground, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you'd want. You should join if you haven't already. You should join the Black Rifle Coffee Club because you get your whatever roasts you want. You choose how many, your frequency of shipment, and with free shipping, it arrives on your doorstep. And that's saving you money. And you can get 20% with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com when you go today. So see it for yourself. Blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
No, they built that in where they're going to turn off those mics so that somebody can't ramble or scream at somebody. You know, not that my husband would be the one doing that.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so that's already been negotiated. Right. And, you know, I think the American people deserve a debate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying real hard here, guys.
Has she never seen
I got
State
this
of the
and
Union?
I got
a,
huh?
Has she never seen one of his State of the Unions?
I don't know. She's got to hustle him off stage like the Sandman at the Apollo. You know, she got to come out there with her shepherd's hook and little Bo Peep him out, right? Damn. Can you imagine? I mean, they start playing that music. I used to watch. You might not believe me, but when I was little and my parents would not give me cable in my room, I was so put upon. My mom, I had a little old black and white television. My mom let me have my room, and I used to stay up and watch Arsenio Hall. And then during the summer, I'd stay up real late, and I'd watch Apollo, Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah.
And I got to know that Sandman act real well. When I heard that music, I was like, oh, here we go! I was waiting for somebody to get in a fight with the Sandman. All right, so welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour, that's Dr. Jill. Sure. Jill Biden, again, I'm not calling you doctor unless you can, you know, demonstrate a talent at rearranging guts. I'm sorry, but I know people of my own actual acquaintance, like I know people in real space who get these doctorate degrees. And I'm like, I am not calling you doctor. Shut up. Just because you paid money. I studied, like, give me a stupid field to study, Kane. Women's literature.
Yes, I was about to say gender studies.
Okay. I got a doctorate in women's literature. So what you're telling me, or gender studies, is that you paid an exorbitant amount of money to call yourself that, studying something stupid. Okay. Yeah. I mean, no offense. If that's your jam, I would much rather spend my money on, like, ammunition or one day own a Dodge Demon, but I digress, which I'm not allowed because someone in my marriage says that I'll wrap it around a tree. And it is not me. So
someone in your marriage?
Yes. It rhymes with schmusband. Feel free to add him on Twitter. Go ahead. Or X. Go ahead. Let him know. I think he needs to be told. He hasn't been told enough. Sidebar, I really did want that. You know who bought the last one that I had my eye on? Richard Rawlings.
Really?
For real. My husband was at the dealership. Richard Rawlings, Richard's a great guy, came on down, bought that damn thing. I was so mad it was the last one. And then Chris was like, it's not meant to be. You'd wrap it around a tree anyway. And I'm like, cried. Anyway, all right. So what was I talking about? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jill. Jill Biden on The View. We had to run that video and audio that we just played for you all through a couple of filters. Because before we did it all, it was just hens clucking. You couldn't hear nothing. So we had to run it through a couple of filters in order to get that. But so she's out there. She's saying, oh, yeah, you're not going to. What did she say? He's not going to ramble. Has she heard her husband speak? I feel like she's not in that marriage. I mean, if you cannot be honest about that, I feel like you're not in your own marriage. Like, we see it. Y'all see it. And she's like, and he doesn't yell. Again, are you in your marriage? How do you not know your old man is out there yelling? Like, every speech the man gives, he does this weird thing where out of nowhere, he just starts screaming the words. Like, that's the emphasis. Does he think that that's the verbal version of, like, bold underscore italics? I don't know. But you've heard him do it. So she's talking about the debate, and then she's, you know, he's in. I don't remember the other stuff that she said because it's just, she's ridiculous, a ridiculous person. What did she even go on The View for? I guess the campaign for him?
Yeah.
Is that all they talked about?
Pretty much.
I mean, it was mostly how bad Trump was, though. It wasn't about how good Biden was, it was mostly about how horrible Trump
is. They measure how good they think Biden is by how much they hate Trump. It's actually a wild thing.
It's a leftist voter thing, too.
Yeah. It's like super, it's crazy. That's how. All right, I want to switch it up. I got to share this story with you. Now, Lorraine tells me that I need to be honest about what this story is. This is not a dude who wants to be an anthropomorphic, like he doesn't want to be anthropomorphic dog. He wants to be like an physical dog. So, without further ado, this is why aliens lock their doors when they fly past Earth. Told you this. This guy spent $14,000 to become a dog, a collie specifically. He changed his mind upon realizing that it's very difficult to walk like a dog. And previously, he had been made fun of, justifiably, by trolls. He spent $12,000 on a costume. His name is Toko. He spent 2 million yen, $12,000, on a dog costume. And it was advertised as being lifelike. If I would have seen something like this, I'm going to be real with you. If this thing would have come up to me at a park, here's the video that I just dropped of you of him. And if this video, like it fetches, he spent $12,000. The damn thing can't move its head. He can't move his head like a dog. So like when he turns around, he's got to do one of these. He's got to literally from his back end turn. He can't turn and look something with his neck because he's not a dog, right? So he got this costume. And he has 30,000 morons subscribed to this guy's YouTube account. He got his little special suit and he dressed up as a dog. And he does tricks. If I would have seen this thing come up to me at a park, I would have kicked it. But here's the problem. He can't walk outside like a dog. He had to be put on a luggage cart and carted around because he's a person in a dog costume.
Is it the costume that cost $14,000? Is that what it was?
There's an extra $14,000. The costume itself was $12,000. So there's a couple thousand for something. I don't know what.
Like what?
I'm afraid to ask.
Is he neutered?
He said he's being bullied online. Really?
Didn't see that.
We're also shocked. If I would have seen this, does that look like a dog to you guys watching the simulcast video of the dog? It literally looks like a fake dog. He spent 12. That's not movie quality.
No.
He can't see anything. He's a freak.
That's not Lassie.
It is the dumbest thing. He's got like dog gloves. He doesn't move like a dog. He moves like a demon in a dog suit. It's like a dog, a bad, crappy dog costume possessed. He can't grab it. He's just horrible. I would have put it down already. I've been like this poor dog. So he said, quote, I'm sad that people think that because everyone goes, you need a therapy. You need therapy, not a dog costume, you weird sex freak. And he goes, I'm sad that people think that. I love animals and enjoy play acting like a cop, like a collie. This is my hobby. No, you're a freak. And so no one knows what he looks like. It is so weird. It's just weird. The videos of it online are so freaky. I can't deal with it. It's just weird. So anyway, long story short, $14,000. Now he decides, you know what? It's really hard to walk around like a dog. Kane, yeah. You think that you would have maybe figured that out before you spent $12,000?
Yes.
On the car. I don't know what else he spent the other $2,000 on.
But I mean, this just goes to prove that even mental illness has its limits. He's clearly mentally ill, and his body decided to just let him know that his mental illness has limits.
Did you see the video of him trying to jump over the little doggy hurdle? Doesn't happen.
Very athletic.
I mean, I would have put this dog down. Something's wrong with it. I've been like, it's in trouble.
It's misery.
Yeah, its dog's miserable. It's horrible. Something's wrong with it. It doesn't look like a dog. It doesn't even look like a stuffed dog. So now he's like, well, you know, maybe I'm going to dress up like another. Maybe I'll just be like another animal since I can't walk like a dog. So now he's thinking, I don't know, panda maybe, or geez, really, or a bear.
An animal that can walk on two
legs. He goes, I would like to be a fox, but that's too small. Well, at least he's got some realistic perception on proportion. A panda or a bear. He's going to walk around like a bear. For you know what I mean? Like the animal.
I've seen bears on two legs.
Yeah, not that kind of bear, though. I had to really watch what I was saying. I
appreciate that.
I have a funny story about that that no one will. I cannot tell because it'll go viral. And it'll end up becoming the most shared thing I've ever done. And I'm not going to do it. Kane, have you heard this story?
You've told me. I think I know what story.
You know what story
about.
It is?
Yeah, and I agree.
Yeah, you agree, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do not do it here.
My young, naive, sweet little heart. Yes. I had no idea what I'd gotten into. I had no idea what I had stumbled across. That's all I'm going to say. It would literally become the most shared thing I've ever done, ever, and I'm not ever going to do it. Anyway.
Don't say never.
No, I'm never going to. I am never going to do this. I think it highlights my purity and my innocence and naivete.
You can't have that.
Well, I mean,
you can't have anything.
I wasn't raised to know what certain things were. My mom didn't go, now these are the men who like to get butch with other dudes. So they dress like butch. So they attract the butch. I wasn't raised that way. You know what I'm saying?
You've already said too much.
You've
already said too much.
You guys will just have to wonder. It's never going to happen. All right. So, oh gosh, where do we go from here? All right. I was going to talk about the Bidens. So, yesterday we were talking about the emails about the Bidens using Sandy Hook. So Hunter's going to have, he's going to have a little bit of problems coming up. I don't know if you have realized this. First off, there's more text messages that are out regarding Joe and Hunter. And then Lorraine has the story that's up on Substack, Chapter and Verse right now about Joe Biden making this little visit. You know, I'm sure it just had nothing at all to do whatsoever with any kind of trial coming up and testimonies and anything like that. But he made a little visit to his, is it former daughter-in-law? It's Hallie. So it's Beau's widow and Hunter's ex-girlfriend, Hallie Biden. So he went, she's going to be testifying in Hunter's federal gun case in the coming days. So he apparently made a little stop. It was a surprise nighttime visit days before she's testifying in this gun trial, because that trial starts like in a week. Is that witness tampering? It was 8 p.m. Now, you know, that's late for Biden. 8 o'clock Sunday night. You know, that's late for him. 8 o'clock Sunday night. Listen to this. Ducey asks this of KJP. Audio soundbite one. I think this is a great question. Check it.
On another topic, why did President Biden have a private meeting with a witness who plans to testify in court against his son?
Can you say more?
Hallie Biden is a key government witness who allegedly disposed of a gun that Hunter is accused of buying illegally. President Biden was at her house this week.
I think the American people should also be told the full breadth of this, not just a part of this question here. As you all know, the president actually spoke to this yesterday during his memorial, I think impactful, powerful Memorial Day address, where he talked about the passing, the anniversary, the ninth anniversary of the passing of his son. And he visited her as that anniversary is approaching. He visited her days before the anniversary of the passing of his son. And she is family. She was married, obviously, to his late son. And I think that is something also to mention as you're asking your question to me.
So they did not talk about her testimony?
This was not about that. This was about...
Just real convenient.
Literally... The ninth anniversary of the super convenient. Of his son.
I mean, he used Sandy Hook as a way to go and net $10 million for himself from a communist Chinese business CEFC guy. So why wouldn't he use this? I mean, he used the bodies of dead kids as a way to shield his $10 million CCP deal. Why wouldn't he use this anniversary? His dead son. Why wouldn't he? I mean, that's a legit question. We got more on the way. We got headlines coming up. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently there's this thing called the longevity escape velocity theory, and it's how people believe that, well, scientists are saying that you could live forever by 2030s. Do you really want to live forever, though? Because I find too many people annoying as hell, where heaven is the only escape that I am promised, right? Like, at some point, I'm like, enough, right? I don't want to sound like morbid. But
we pray for the smod,
right?
The sweet meteor of death.
Jeebus. I don't want to, and that's Jeebus, by the way. I don't want to be forever with all, I mean, you know, you're all nice in that, but golly, give me Jesus. I just don't, I can't, right? Oh my word. I just can't imagine. I didn't want to entertain you with this possibility. We're going to the next headline. Okay, so they said, I am trying to wrap my head around this. Guys, the average person wastes over 2 hours a day dream scrolling. Now you're like, what? So you've heard of doom scrolling, which I totally still. So dream scrolling is looking at dream purchases or things that you'd like to one day own. It's an exercise in covetousness. Who does this? Who has time to do that? B, I feel like the only time, like I, for instance, I had to get, and it's, I wore my hair purpose like this today, but I have to get a new flat iron, right? Because mine, it died. It's just dead. 8 years is a long time. It died. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to look at it. And I don't want to have to look at them. I don't want to look at it, right? I don't want to deal with it. I'm just like putting it off. I don't want to have to deal with it. I can't believe they said that 71% of American people, it was over 2,000 U.S. adults, They said that over a full year, people spend on average 36 days scrolling and looking at the stuff. That does not sound right, does it? No. I can't imagine. And tattoos, they said, could trigger a rare form of cancer. But it's not the vax, guys. It's the tattoos triggering the cancer, not the vax. Psh, whatever. Stick with us. More in store. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Well, we don't mess with anything in terms of the term victim. We just change offender to justice impacted individual. We're adding the Department of Corrections, adding Human Services, adding Sangamon and Cook County Adult Probation, and two members who've experienced the ARI system as offenders or justice impacted individual.
It might seem like a small thing. I mean, obviously it's changing a term can have a positive or negative impact when we do that. But I would say that over and over again, we keep changing the names for how we are referring to those who are entered into criminal activity. And each time we make that change, each agency has to make that change on every one of their documents. So right now in the Department of Corrections, there's multiple changes that have been made, and it's costing thousands and thousands of dollars just to do a name change. So I would ask, why is it necessary to make the name change? Even if the rest of the bill was okay, which I don't think that it is, but even if the rest of it was okay, the name changes may seem like a small thing, but it costs thousands and thousands of dollars to do that.
This was in Illinois where they decided to change. It was Illinois House Bill 4409. And they wanted to change the word offender to, as you heard, quote, justice impacted individual in the state law. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Words have no meaning. Justice impacted individual, as though through no fault of their own, justice just hit them. They didn't do anything. I was out minding my own business, and I'll be damned, justice hit me upside the head. Wait, what? That I am impacted by it, the justice. They make it sound like it's a knockout game and some rando named Justice is running around smacking people. That's what they make it sound like. But as dumb as you think this is, it's not as dumb as this bill passing both the House and Senate in Illinois and making its way to the governor who's going to sign it. So it's not offender. So in Illinois, they're not going to be offender. It's justice impacted individual. Now, when you hear that phrase, justice impacted individual, what do you think of? What is the point of this? What do you think of? I mean, they're still going to prison. Oh, I'm justice impacted. This sounds like a comedy. This is like an SNL skit. This is not a real thing. So you can't say criminal. They went from criminal to offender. Because remember, it used to be criminal. Then they went to offender. And now they're going to say justice impacted individual. Where does this stop? I'm a justice impacted individual. When does this stop? This is so in this, and it passed both chambers. What if you're a thief? What would they call that? A undocumented taker, borrower, right. Undocumented possessor. Oh, ooh, I like that. So that's what burglars will be called now. No, no, he's not a thief. He's not a burglar. It's a, that's a harsh term. Come on. Undocumented possessor. Because we all know that the reason why these crimes keep happening is because the names of the people who commit the crimes hurt the criminals' feelings. And they're like, you know what? Because of that, I'm going to keep stealing. I'm going to keep stealing things. I'm mad at you. So is this what they would describe like the people who are driving up their murder rate? Justice impacted individuals. I can't. This is crazy. What if you're a drug dealer? Someone said, are they going to be called unlicensed pharmacist? Ooh. What if you're like a kidnapper? Surprise detainer. Just saying. This is all crazy. This is crazy. This is what they're doing, though. I'm just waiting to see what else is next. But you, that one lawmaker made a good point. They have to change this on all their documents, and that's not cheap because anything with the government isn't cheap. If you have to change a document, say maybe out in the real world that costs, you know, 25 cents. But if it's the government, that's $2,500. Thank you. Because you got to pay for the Rube Goldberg machine of government workers that do it for you. This, I'm just the paper passer. They hand me the paper and I pass the paper to the other person who passes the paper to someone else. They got to pay my salary. That's who it is. That's how that works. It's the Rube Goldberg machine of government employees. And then Biden forgives all their student loan. It's craziness. Now, speaking of when culture hits policy, I got two other things here. Let me touch on this thing with this Kaylee Gain girl. 15 years old, since this is more of Law and Order. You guys remember the 15-year-old, the two girls that got into a fight in the street, and the attacker, Marnice DeClue, and versus Kaylee Gain. Marnice DeClue beat this girl senseless, sat on top of her, and started bashing her head into the ground like she was trying to split a rock. It was crazy. And then, yeah, into the asphalt. And then another girl tackled Marnice DeClue, took her off her, and then you could see Gain seizing, and it looked really bad. So the 15-year-old girl is not going to be charged as an adult now, the judge ruled. I just think if you played adult games, you win adult prizes. The 15-year-old girl, the family has said, oh, no, but she's been bullied. What? The family has been out there trying to say that the girl she attacked is actually, she's the mean girl. She's the much smaller girl that clearly, judging by the video, has never been in a fight in her life, is the bully here. Apparently, we're to believe. And so the other girl clearly knew how to fight. And they charged her with first degree assault. She's been in the juvenile system. They've been waiting to see if she's going to be tried as an adult, which she is now not. She is not going to be tried as an adult. And they said it's because of the smaller girl has been a bully previously. I am not even, this is an actual true thing, an actual true story. They said that it's going to remain in the juvenile courts because the girl is a serial bully. The girl who had her head beaten into the ground was a serial bully. That's a very dangerous decision to make. Because there's no excuse for what, I don't care if the girl had been bullied before. On video, she tried to kill this girl. She tried to kill this girl. There is no other way to look at it. And if she had been a repeat bully or a serial bullier, where the hell was the school? If it was that bad. I don't believe it because she's smaller. And in the video, clearly you could tell she had no idea how to defend herself. I mean, there's no excuse for it, I think. A manslaughter charge. Or attempted manslaughter. But this just makes it worse because they're not even dealing with the problem of bullying. What they're saying is, oh, well, you know, because the school did nothing about this for forever. And, you know, even if the girl was a serial bully, what the hell does that have to do with what's happened on the video? Because on the video, that girl was standing there, and then she gets attacked, knocked to the ground, and has her head bashed in. And that girl did not stop. She did not stop. It took another girl running at her full charge to knock her backwards. And you can sit here and say, well, it's a victim of a bully pushed to the edge. She didn't hit her, though. She didn't just hit her, and she didn't just knock her down. She permanently injured her. She tried to kill her. Now, are we now making the argument that that's acceptable? That that didn't go too far? That that's acceptable? That that was okay? Even if, let's just take the argument as fact that she was bullied before, that that's acceptable? Even after that girl was incapacitated and no longer fighting back, the antagonist, DeClue, kept at it. Even after her arms were splayed out down on her side and she clearly was not there anymore, she kept bashing her head in the ground. There's no excuse for that. None. And I think the school also needs to be investigated, because for it to go on that long, just awful. Now, coming up, one of the things we're going to talk about is this insane story from the Washington Free Beacon. Up to half of UCLA's medical students are now failing the basic tests of medical competence. Former members of the admissions staff have said, we want racial diversity so badly, we're willing to cut corners to get it. Now, remember, I was telling you about Hillsdale's, their free speech digest called Imprimis. They had a whole thing about this last month, about how the medical boards are lowering entrance standards because they said that the practice of medicine is so rampant with racism that they have to lower standards because that's going to solve it somehow. I don't even understand what that means. But now we're seeing the fruits of that. A failed medical school, racial preferences, which apparently were supposed to be outlawed in California, have persisted so much at UCLA that half of their medical students are failing basic tests. These are people that are going to be maybe operating you or treating on you one day. What is going to happen to medical malpractice in this country? What does all this DEI stuff, how does that affect medical malpractice?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
WFLA, a Florida man was arrested for threatening young children at a bus stop with a screwdriver. Oh. What in the world? Why are you people going to stop being like this?
Juice.
What?
Vodka and orange juice?
No, not the drink, like an actual tool, like an implement. So WFLA says a Florida man's facing several charges. He threatened two kids with a screwdriver at their bus stop on Monday. Kurt Straczynski is accused of threatening the kids, demanding that they lay on the ground to show him some respect, said an arrest affidavit that was obtained by WESH. Both children complied out of fear, but they were able to report the incident. Officers arrived at the scene. Straczynski ignored the officers' clear and concise demands to stop being a psycho. And then he got hit with a stun gun and detained. They found the screwdriver. He's charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, two counts of false imprisonment, and of a child under 13 and resisting an officer without violence. False imprisonment, because you can't detain someone's movement. That's what I keep telling people who think that protesters have a right to be in the roads. No, that's literally a felony. That's a charge. Also, I got a whole other, where's this one? This is a crazy one. Okay, so this is, I don't even know what kind of person were you raising that does this. So this Florida guy, Miami-Dade, a grown man threw a temper tantrum in the store on Tuesday at Brand Smart USA store because the dad did not buy the 42-year-old son what he wanted. Christopher Reynoso. Yeah. He wanted this. They didn't actually say what it was. He said that the dad would not buy him what he wanted from the store, so he spat on him and kicked him in the face. He was arrested. Bond has not yet been set. He looks like the bad guy who thought he was all that in that movie 10 Things I Hate About You, but grown up and on drugs. He looks like that guy. Anyway, can you imagine? It's like some Hunter stuff. That's like some Hunter Biden level. Like, I don't really want to read this story here. This is a bad one. What did Wimpy and Popeye used to say about hamburgers, Kane? Like, I'll gladly...
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Okay. Well...
Oh, no. Golly.
Yeah.
How did you get this? I didn't send you this one.
No. You know who did? Who? It's an older one, but it's Amber. Florida woman Amber. And when you get triple dog dare to read a story, I feel like I've got to live up
Dang
to...
Dang it, Amber!
I feel like that's what she does. One day I'm going to meet her in Florida. Now, I'm not saying, like, threateningly anyway, because she's like, how about this one? And it'll be like double dog dare. It's just funny. So Pinellas Park man, he got busted trying to offer a female officer a hamburger for a good time. Let's just put it like that. Frank Capone propositioned a female officer that he thought was a prostitute. Authorities arrested him on the prostitution charge. I love that this is literally a part of the story. Quote, it's unclear what type of burger was allegedly offered. It's probably my favorite part of the whole story is that.
Quarter-pounder?
Yeah, I mean. Half-pounder? So apparently mangoes were launched. 61-year-old Charles Lovkin got into big trouble. He apparently had a run-in with his neighbor. And they were throwing mangoes and rocks at it. Sounds like a Super Mario Brothers thing. They were throwing mangoes and rocks at each other because, according to WPLG, Lovkin said his neighbor was gay. I don't even understand. This is hysterical. So it's a Broward man. He threw mangoes at the neighbor because he thought he was gay. North Lauderdale man now charged with hate crimes. So apparently what happened is on Sunday, Charles Lovkin got up to ask about a mango that had fallen onto the side of his patio and made a loud noise. Lovkin owns a mango tree. And then Lovkin became enraged at the man and started calling him gay. And then Lovkin then grabbed two mangoes and threw them at his neighbor. One missed, the other hit him in the chest. Then he started throwing rocks at the victim, and the victim dodged it. And then deputies arrived at the scene, and I swear to you, hands to sky, this is literally what he said. Quote, well, I threw the mangoes at him because I thought he was gay. And according to, this is Local 10, this is the news, this is what they write. According to the report, the victim is married to a woman and has children. So not gay. And the victim is also taking blood thinners. I guess it's important to know. So Lovkin is in the Broward County Jail on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a mango. Battery causing bodily harm. Oh my gosh. Committing a third degree felony with evidence of prejudice and committing a first degree misdemeanor with evidence of prejudice. He's being held on a $15,000 bond.
Good Lord.
Mangoes were thrown because he said the guy was gay. I can't even. So yeah, he was very honest about it. And the neighbor goes, well, I was very freaked out because I'm on blood thinners. Does that have anything to do with that? This whole story is so crazy. On Monday, actually Tuesday, when we're back from Memorial Day, I'm going to tell you about the mayoral candidate arrested for armed robbery. Third hour next. Top of the hour. Welcome back. We all got distracted because Steve told us his middle name. Welcome back. Dana Lash, top of the second hour. It's the Dana Show. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream us. Online, watch the simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, X. Now everyone's gonna, I'm gonna just get slammed with questions like, what's his middle name? It's a really good one. All right. I had a story that I included in, if you're a subscriber to my Substack, which you should be, you get good stuff that comes out all throughout the week. And if you're a subscriber and you get the email prep that I send out all throughout the week every morning, this story was in here. And we've been talking about the petrodollar. We've been talking about, you know, Biden G7. Apparently, so far, it's pretty disastrous, him being over there. I wanted to touch on this, too. It's a part of the policy. This is one of the dumbest things. This is so dumb. It's really one of the worst things I've ever seen in terms of stepping on yourself with bad policy. And it has to do, let me pull this up, with, it has to do with energy. You remember when Joe Biden said, the Biden administration said they were going to build something like a frillion charging stations. Oh, yeah. EV charging stations. Yeah. Oh, they're going to build all these EV charging stations. So many of them. In fact, they had said, I think it was 500,000. Yeah. Now, he said that in 2021. They're going to build 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations by the year of 2030. Kane, guess how many they built?
We did this a few weeks ago. There was like six or seven. Is there more than seven?
No, there's not.
No?
Seven.
Is there fewer than seven?
No, it's just seven.
Because okay. I've seen the videos of them cutting that copper out of that wires.
It's seven.
It's seven.
Whole stations.
Still only seven.
So, you know, of the 500,000.
With a diesel generator sitting 300 yards back behind it.
Now, remember, the Secretary Mayor Poot Booty Juice, he's the guy who administers the funds that are apportioned for this in the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure act. Now, do you remember when he was on also CBS's Face the Nation? And he goes, well, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So they had these internal memos from the Department of Transportation. This was a story broken by the Washington Free Beacon. And they interviewed people who are responsible for overseeing the implementation of these EV charging stations. What do you think the delay is? Let me just add, if you guys had to think of a delay for why these EV charging stations couldn't be built, what would you think it is? Probably like materials or something, right? Yeah. Nope. Nope, it's because of their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. One senior department transportation staffer said, quote, these requirements are screwing everything up. Someone else said that's making it take so much longer. So when Biden took office, he signed this executive order that demanded that the beneficiaries of 40% of all government grants that relate to climate and environmental programs, that they have to come from underserved communities. So the order that established, you know, the it's the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. They monitor Department of Transportation to make sure that, quote, all voices, perspectives, and lived realities of communities with environmental justice concerns are heard in the White House and reflected in federal policies, investments, and decisions. What? The world, what in the world the hell is that? So in order to even get a grant, and the Free Beacon has all the receipts on it, applicants have to demonstrate how meaningful public involvement and inclusivity of disadvantaged communities, how that is going to occur throughout the project's life cycle, right? So they didn't actually define what public involvement means in this. They just said that, well, it should be intentional outreach to underserved communities. Hmm. And they have a whole little, like a booklet on it online. It's a whole little booklet. So they get into techniques for meaning. Let's go to page 19 of this. Page 19, scroll on down. They have a million different pages of this. It's so ridiculous. But it's the DEI stuff. So in this, they talk about primary languages and all kinds of other stuff and how to include X, Y, and Z in terms of demos, in terms of identity politics. So they said that if you're going to get a grant, they note in this that applicants have to demonstrate, I told you how they had to demonstrate how they're going to be inclusive of all this stuff, and they didn't define public involvement, except they gave some examples. This is on the this is in their little transportation booklet. So they mention games and contests, visual preference surveys, and neighborhood block parties. Like that's considered, I guess they consider those public involvement. And so long as the grant recipient provides, quote, multilingual staff or interpreters to interact with community members who use languages other than English. What does this have to do with just building the damn charging station? How do you even quantify public involvement? How is that even quantified? And I don't even know how any of this, what this has to do with a single EV charging station. But if you want to, if you want federal funding to build it, you got to submit these reports that how that total like hundreds of pages that talk about how what you're doing to pursue equity every step of the way. Now, Kane, yeah. Do you think this is going to increase construction costs?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
This reminds me of what Vice President Harris said. Audio soundbite 12. This is like some of the stuff that, I mean, this is kind of reflective in their policies approaching everything. Listen to this.
Many of you may know the stories about a black family that wants to sell their home and then has the appraiser come in and the house is appraised for what they know is less than its value. And you probably know the stories about how they'll then reach out to family friends who are white and say, hey, will y'all come over, bring your family pictures. We're going to take down ours and you invite the appraiser.
I've never heard that. People want to make money. They want to make money. But everything is viewed through the lens of race. Even apparently even appropriating building down to building charging stations. Down to building charging stations. Everything is about race. One senior department transportation official told the Free Beacon that these ridiculous inclusion requirements handcuff professionals from making proper evaluations, and they prevent the government and public from funding the most deserving projects instead of funneling money towards the least qualified applicants. And I mean, golly, the first charging station opened in a small Ohio town and no one used it. And they only have 0.33% of all vehicles operating on battery power in that state. Yeah. So the regulations, that's just you're paying off your voting block through that. Those are federal funds because of the insane word salad restrictions that you're applying, that you're demanding be fulfilled for these to receive a grant to build an EV charging station. You're making it to where you might as well just say you can only, these grants are only allowed for Democrats and Democrat businesses to build these charging stations. Just go ahead and say it. Stop with this other stupid nonsense. This is federal plunder. It's what it is. But can you believe it? So that's why it's so slow. That's why they can't build them. That's why there's 7 out of 500,000 that have been built. I mean, not that I don't think the government should be doing this at all, but I think it's funny that they're stepping all over themselves with us. Out of 500,000, only 7.
And we're 3 years out from that money being green-lighted. So
7.
In 3 years, they've built 7.
Let me give you another example of really stupid policy. So a lot of the left is really mad. A lot of the left in Florida is really, really mad at Governor Ron DeSantis right now because they had yesterday, his office released the budget veto list, and it had a bunch of stuff on there. Some of it's pretty crazy. The stuff that they were vetoing. One of the things on the list was menstrual hygiene products grant program pursuant to section blah, 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 Florida statutes. Now, I thought, what is for tampons? One of my favorite meme accounts, Midnight Mitch, lost their mind over it. Because that's what they're talking about, menstrual hygiene. They're talking about pads and tampons. And the request that he vetoed was $6.4 million for this. So Mitch went in and was like a 36 count box of tampons at Target, $7.99. That's 800,000 boxes or 28 million individual tampons. The entire population of Florida is like 23 million. Why do you need 28 million tampons for schools? Why does the school even need to be providing that? And why is it $6.4 million? Oh my gosh. So of course he vetoed that. I mean, you're looking at, that's crazy. That's insane. That's money. Why would you spend that? So yes, he was right. That, and I love the comments on it. I love the comments from the dudes trying to figure out how many per day a girl would need. It's one of my favorite things ever to read. But that's not anything. That's, oh my gosh, $6.4 million. It's just Democrats don't know where money comes from, clearly. Clearly. Just bad policy. This is what they focus on. But the petrodollar, that can go to hell. We don't really care about that. We don't care about that. They don't care about tax dollars unless they're upset that tax dollars were used in the Hunter Biden case. I don't know if you saw this. USA Today has a really stupid piece out that came out yesterday, actually. And they said Hunter Biden's prosecution is a waste of taxpayer dollars. And Trump's wasn't? What? Oh, now you're concerned about taxpayer dollars? Now? Trump's wasn't? It's so situational. We have more on the way, including, let me just give you a quick rundown of what we got. We've been talking about the collapse of the petrodollar. Saudi Arabia is no longer exclusively going to be selling it in U.S. currency. That's huge. We're going to discuss that. The president is in Italy for G7, and it's already been embarrassing. The videos, he looks so bad, you guys. I'm not saying that to fill content up with making fun of how he moves or how he just looks so unhealthy. I am totally not convinced that he can even get halfway into a second term. Not at all. We're going to talk about some of the some November stuff. We're going to get into that. We got, you know, it's alphabet month, so we got culture stuff to hit as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I was just talking to Kane about this on break. Have aliens been on Earth all along? Because Harvard researchers seem to think so. Please, I hope they are, because I was just telling, I'm so bored. I'm so bored of everybody's garbage. I'm bored of the left and their stupid stuff. I'm bored of all the Democrat and Republican drama. Give me some alien drama. We need new drama, right? I feel like I'm watching the same old storylines. They said a paper suggests that extraterrestrial life might be coming from underground. It was written by researchers from Harvard and Montana Technological University. They said that unidentified anomalous phenomena, such as UFOs, may already be present in Earth's environment. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Also, I'm just saying I hope so. I really genuinely hope so. That would be good. Eight protesters were arrested at the congressional baseball game. The group Climate Defiance took responsibility, posting pictures, blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe don't do that, because there was a progressive that tried to kill all these guys at one of these games. So maybe don't mess around and be stupid and do this stuff. I mean, a guy almost lost his life there. I mean, thank heavens he didn't. American expats are renouncing their U.S. citizenship. A lot of people are doing it because of taxes. Apparently more and more, they said it's the tax filing requirements, etc. That's actually what's causing them to do this. And a Chihuahua had to be revived with Narcan after overdosing on cocaine and heroin, according to the New York Post. That's how bad the drug epidemic is. Stick with us.
It's been a wild ride since I started Conservative Dad's ultra-right beer. And we're just getting started. We got back to the basics. Great beer, fun, patriotism, fast cars, and beautiful real women. And 100% woke-free. But some people tell me I need to tone down the politics in our ads. So I'm making this ad just for them.
I swear I had this as a Matchbox car back in the day. Like, you remember the old metal Matchbox cars that, like, they felt like miniature actual toy, like actual cars, toy size? I had that. It was the 1977 Pontiac Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit that was driven in the movie with one of the greatest actors to ever grace celluloid, Lord Burt Reynolds. who was a good-looking man up to his dying day, and I'll fight you on that hill. Welcome back to The Dana Show. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. Back when men had hair on their chest for their gold medallions to lay on, right? Isn't that? It's a nest for the necklace. Anyway, welcome back to the program. So that was a commercial from Ultra Right Beer. And one of my favorite things to do, by the way, and we're going to bring on Seth Weathers in just a second. One of my favorite things to do is if, like, you're entertaining, right? And you maybe don't know all of the political leanings of everybody, although in my house it's very rare unless somebody brings a date. I may not know where they stand politically. That's the first thing I offer them. I don't offer them a glass of wine. I'm like, here, would you like a brew? And it's nice and cold, right? And I also provide a nice cold stein for them also. Their expression is going to tell me whether I'm going to take them out of the house by their ear or if they're staying. So joining us right now, and you can find all of this over at conservativedadscar.com, ultrarightbeer.com as well, conservative dad himself, Seth Weathers, who joins us now with his pyramid of beer behind him. Everyone needs a nice ziggurat of brewskis. It's good to be with you.
It's great to be back.
So tell me this, because I asked you this. This is my first question was, is this the car? Because I wanted to know if Burt Reynolds breathed on it, because I'm kind of a big fan of Burt Reynolds. And I was like, did Burt Reynolds breathe on this car? Is it the one that's actually that he touched and was around?
Unfortunately, it is not that one.
Because I would fight you for it.
It looks just like it, though.
It does. It looks just like it. Does it come with a new set of tires? Because I watched you drive in that commercial three times now.
We actually did have to get new tires.
I knew.
It was pretty bad. But we had a lot of fun doing that. But car certainly held up under a lot of conditions that day. So we're pretty
impressed. Giving this car away.
I'm really starting to regret it, to be honest, but I kind of can't take it back now. My 7-year-old is very upset about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful car, and it's an iconic, everybody knows Smokey the Bandit. So tell me, where did you get the idea where you're like, you know what? Let's give away a Pontiac Trans Am. Let's go ahead and do it. The Smokey the Bandit car with some beer. Cause that's how you're automatically entered. Yep. When you purchase some brew, correct?
Yep. And you can also just go. There's a link. You can also just enter a cell phone number, sign up for text messages. That also enters you. So there's other ways that people can enter. But, you know, we did a commercial a while back, Smokey and the Conservative Dad, that we thought was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how we came up with that. Probably, I'm pretty sure I just wanted an excuse to get one of these old cars.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so that's how I'd
have to use like a 1970 Challenger or something like that just as an excuse.
That'd be nice.
See, yeah, I'm telling you. So you came up with the idea for this car, and you can go to conservativedadscar.com as well to see everything. All online orders, everybody's automatically entered to win. So they can win. So what do you just show up with beer in the car? When they win, how does that work?
We are going to fill the trunk with beer, oddly enough, but we're going to pick the winner on August 21st. And then we'll have some kind of something to actually give it away shortly thereafter. But the program goes all the way to the 21st of August. And then we select who the winner is.
You can have an Ed McMahon. He's dead, right? Ed McMahon. You can have an Ed McMahon kind of giveaway. Right.
Well, we actually have some fun ideas on that. We can't share just yet that we're finalizing, but I think we're going to have fun with the giveaway for sure.
Ooh,
I think it'd be a great car for you. I could see you hopping around.
Okay,
Dallas.
So please talk to my husband about this. Because see, at first I was like, I would love a 70s Challenger. I wanted the Dodge Demon. I really wanted that. And I just told a story a little earlier how Richard Rawlings, who we know, he's a great guy. We're at the same dealership, and it was the last one in the DFW area, and Rawlings got it. He got the car. He drove away. I saw a video later of him driving away in the car that I wanted. And my husband.
Do you really need a Dodge Demon?
Yeah, that's not a question you need to be asking a woman. Because my husband was like, you know what? It's for the best because you'd wrap it around a tree. That's what he tells me about every car that goes faster than 60. He's like, I know how you drive. You're going to wrap it around a tree. I'm like, I'm not. I promise. But I feel like this car would suit me well, Seth.
I think it would. It's a fun car to drive, that's for sure. Like I said, I'm gonna be sad to give it up, but I think whoever wins it's gonna be thrilled to have the car. And you know,
this commercial was full of patriotism and all the things that you mentioned, because beer commercials have been boring, and it makes me not want to drink their beer.
And beautiful real women.
Look, good-looking women in commercials. Women like good-looking women. We don't want to see ugly women in commercials. I'm going to say it. You can't. I don't want to see an ugly fat chick in a commercial, because I'm not going to buy anything from an ugly fat chick, right?
I agree. Exactly. I want to get the balance of the weight off the car anyway.
It's a psychological thing. Like men will look at a, men will be like, that's the kind of woman I'd like to date. Women will be like, I'd like to be in shape like that woman or have hair like that woman or whatever. It's a psychological thing. There's like, you know, there's some smarts that go along with the advertising that they're just not getting today, Seth.
I agree. And we're trying to provide that to people that are looking back to when things were a little simpler. Men were men and women were women. And we're trying to promote that in our marketing. And we're also, we're out there doing a lot of things. Obviously, we do have a political mission with what we are as a company. We want to be a great beer, but we're also a movement company. You know, we're donating to causes that are important to conservatives. We fully funded a school board race last year. We ended up donating $100,000 to the Trump electors lawsuit here in Georgia. So we're just, we're putting our money where our mouth is on a lot of these things. Big corporate liberal companies do it for all their left-wing projects. Yeah. So we're going to do it for the right wing.
So let me get this straight. The more beer you drink, the more good you do.
This is actually true. And, you know, the 1776 Project PAC, which overturned school board races, is happy every time they hear an ultra-right crack open because they know they're going to get a portion.
That's the sound of freedom. Imagine that.
Quite literally.
Yeah, that's every time you drink. See, the more beer you drink, America, the more ultra-right beer you drink, the more good that is done, the more that communism is defeated. You're literally fighting communism with beer.
Every single day. Hey, this country was actually founded in taverns over beer.
It was. So the King Street Patriots founded in a pub. Yes.
Yep.
This country is founded by beer.
We're looking to bring that back. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of exciting things in the future with the brand. We have some other flavors that we're working on, beverages that we're working on coming out with. So we have some fun stuff coming in the future for sure.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to Seth Weathers with Ultra Right Beer, and you can find it at ultrarightbeer.com, and it'll also take you right to that amazing giveaway with that 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. This car's older than me.
It's 81.
This is an 81? The original is the 77. The original
77 was the first movie. This would have been the second movie model.
Okay, so this is the 81 Pontiac Trans Am. So giving away this beautiful car. I was looking literally all weekend for this Matchbox car because I think I saved some of them because I'm a freak. Because I don't think I gave this one to my boys. I did withhold a few things. I did. Sorry.
They're actually valuable. I've seen them on eBay and stuff. They're hard to find.
They are very difficult to find. Let me ask you this. Speaking of younger generations, like the, what is it, like Gen Z that are in their 20s now, I was reading that they're drinking like less beer and less wine and all of this. Do you find that that pendulum is going to swing the other way, though? Because I feel like they're turned off with all the marketing and messaging that's completely antithetical to what America's about.
Yeah, I think so. And there are some trends with that, but there, what we go through trends with beverages. I mean, you have some of the, you know, the ready to drink
cocktails. Those are nasty. Who does that?
Phases, all these things come and go. And so everything's on a different phase. I don't know how long that lasts. Beer is going to be around forever.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And the conservative people in that age range, they tend to be drinking beer, it appears. So when we go out places, they're all about it. So I think that might be a temporary blip.
Are you involved in like the frat boy summer stuff? Because as we saw colleges winding down, we saw these amazing fraternity brothers go out and protect the flag and stand against all these like terrorist supporting Hamas, you know, fans out there, which was amazing to see. And one of them, they're going to have apparently a big kegger. Are you going to do ultra right, you know, frat boy summer?
We actually were doing that. We were in the process of putting one together there with those guys in North Carolina, and it was going along great. There would have been a huge crowd. And I know it's almost impossible to imagine a frat party could be too big and too fun, but it appears it was getting too big and too fun for some people. And so they shut it down. So unfortunately we did not get to do it, but there is talk about doing something when they come back in the fall as well as some other people there as also. So it should be a fun time.
I love it. I love what you guys do. And it's fun. It's like, it makes stuff fun again. And we just,
absolutely.
I feel so deprived of that.
Yeah. And the thing is like conservatives, like, we have very important issues. We know how bad things are. We know how pivotal some of these situations we're in as a country right now. And so maybe it makes us, it's maybe a little hard to throw fun into it, but you can't just completely take yourself out of culture and out of reality and not have fun with things anymore if you want to actually change the culture.
Right.
And so we're kind of going where the people are and providing them a product that they love and that they want that just has our twist on it.
And you can get a nice 1981 Pontiac Trans Am too, Smoking the Bandit style. And just don't drive it like Seth did because you'll have to replace your tires after one afternoon. Just don't do that. Just don't do that. You go to ultrarightbeer.com and get it. It's ultrarightbeer. Oh, one last thing I was going to tell you because my stepdad was always a big, you know.
I know. We got to get him converted. Have you got him?
And when he was down here over Christmas, he went for the ultra right beer in the fridge. And because I refused to bring, he found like an old, I don't know where he found it. I guess I had it hidden somewhere, an old Bud Light, and it was in there, a bottle, but he didn't drink it. He went for the ultra right. I think he liked your beer better. He'd never say, but you know, cause he's St. Louis born and bred, you know, I think he was born in the bowels of the brewery there. But he was drinking ultra right beer and he went through it. Cause he enjoys a brewski. So he liked it.
It's a great beer. Well, mm-hmm. We'll have to bring the car out and meet him. We may be out in Texas with the car at some point in the next few months. So we'll have to come let you. We'll let you tear up the tires for a change. I think that'd be fun to watch.
We're not telling
Chris
this.
I've got great insurance.
We're not telling Chris this. I'm not going to wrap it around a tree. So no one on social media say a damn thing. Y'all keep your mouth shut, but it's going to happen. Seth Weathers, ultrarightbeer.com. Make sure you go get your beer and you're automatically entered to win my Trans Am. There you go.
Take care, guys.
It's good to see you. Thanks so much, Seth. Congrats.
Hashtag FJB. Yeah. That's pretty cool, ain't it?
Man, I'm telling you, it is.
Hashtag Joe Biden.
Do you know what FJB means?
No.
Joe Biden.
Oh, goodness. That's what I say, too. F*** him.
Oh, my gosh. So this lady looks like my Aunt Joni. I gotta say, with her white hair. That's adorable. I love it. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashier. Oh, can we adopt her as a mama? I'd like to adopt her. She's a riot. All right, so welcome back to the program. Make sure you go sign up over at Substack Chapter and Verse, because in the event, I think they said that they're going to go to like 4 or 4:30 today, the jury. That's Eastern time, so that's like 3:30 Central. If there is a... they come out with a decision, or even if they don't, you know, we'll have that in the thing. But if they come out with the decision, there's going to be a piece out about that shortly. So make sure you sign up. And we also have, you know, the prep email that comes out, all those good things too. In the meantime, the couple of other things to hit on as well, because we didn't get to everything. We were talking about the Bidens and we were going over the, this whole thing with the trial, which is wild. I have to tell you about this argument that the Met is having. Oh gosh, should I get to the Vegas alien video later?
Yeah. Or, probably.
Because that's like a big one that we got to talk about.
Yeah, we have a limited amount of time here.
That's going to be tomorrow. So this has to do with a thing that we've seen before. We actually showed the video in headlines when it happened. And it was like body cam footage of the police like showing up, and there was like an 8-foot-tall alien or something. It was very Signs, like M. Night Shyamalan Signs kind of thing. Well, apparently there's like a million developments with the story. It hasn't gone away, and we'll touch on it. So we'll talk about it. The Met Museum, Metropolitan Museum of Art, they have their first Native American curator. But now all the other Native American tribes, all the indigenous campaigners are questioning her. They said that she's not a real Native American. And in fact, one of the quotes was, she wants to be the only Native American in the room, is what one woman accused her of. And she said that she's pure Apache and that her family roots are from Mexico, Northern Mexico and Texas. And apparently that is not one of the officially recognized nations from the U.S. Department of Interior's Indian Affairs Division. So they're saying she's a fake Native American. And one woman who is a member of Cherokee Nation, she compiled genealogy of this woman's family. She said, we wonder why that with all of the Native American scholars out there, why the Met chose her. She's definitely not Native American. So is this like another Elizabeth Warren type situation?
But she looks the part, at least. She looks the
she
part.
She looks like she is, yeah.
They're calling her a pretendian. A pretendian.
But they're calling her a pretendian. She looks like she is, but I don't...
Elizabeth Warren is definitely
Elizabeth Warren definitely wasn't. So, yeah, it was a problem. Anyway, so that's... we'll have all the latest for you on the trial coming up at Substack. All right, in the meantime, today in Stupidity...
Oh, believe it or not, our... President.
No. Oh, this president, is a good one, isn't
he
it?
He made it on Today
man.
In Stupidity again.
For this one.
It's probably 100 times this year. Did we have do we have the internet back in the day?
When?
Let's listen to what he says here. Listen.
I promise to access affordable high-speed internet.
Ooh.
Because now internet is just as important as it was in the days of Franklin Roosevelt.
Wait a minute. Wait, internet was as important as the days of Franklin Roosevelt?
Wait, did...
We
didn't have the internet back then.
I'm thinking that was a mistake.
Yeah, we didn't have the internet back in that time.
Did he go to school with him, by the way?
Who?
Franklin Roosevelt?
He may have.
He could have.
He probably killed Bo. He rolled over him. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's our president, guys. Yeah,
there you go. Mm-hmm. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. And also Substack. Find us over at Substack as well. Have a great night. Talk with you tomorrow. Oh, I'll be on Jesse Waters tonight at 7 p.m. Central Hour.